You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
That's one of the most common sounds of Christmas, the sound of the cash register. It used to be the jingle bells meant the bells on the horses pulling the sleigh. The times changed, however, and in our materialistic age, jingle bells has come to mean cash registers to many merchants and shoppers. Yes, times do change. And even the bells of busy Christmas cash registers have now given way to another sound, this sound. Recognize it? That's the sound of credit. My message today is about credit at Christmas. St. Paul says in Romans 13:8, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another." That's what this message is about, the debt of love you and I have to one another. This won't be an economics lecture. Balancing the checkbook is as much a challenge for me as it is for anyone else. This shopping season and the use of credit cards gives me the opportunity to remind you about your debt of love. You know how the credit process works. You make your purchase with a plastic card and receive a statement the following month. That statement lists the debts you have incurred and the payments you have made. Let's transfer that monthly occurrence to the spiritual realm. If God were to send you a statement, it would show that you have amassed some very great debts. Your debts to God are what theologians and religious people call sin. Sin is a debt that is not easily paid. Oh, I may go out this week and buy a present for my wife, Diane. In fact, I'd better do that. If I pay for that gift with a credit card, I'll get a statement in January saying that I owe 10, 20, 30, or however many dollars it is. I pay the bill, and the transaction is done. It's not that simple with the debt of sin. Being a sinner means that you and I are by nature part of a humanity that is dead set against God and against anything good that God has told us. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans that the fleshly attitude is hatred toward God. We're born that way, you and I are, and it shows every time you and I disobey God. That disobedience comes when we do what God has forbidden us to do, and also when we do not do the good that God wants us to do. That's what we mean when we use the word sin. Your sins have to be paid for. God is a holy God who demands perfection in you and me. He says, "Be holy, because I am holy." The way to pay the debt of sin against God is death. Death! Paul says in Romans 6 that the wages paid by sin is death. Now, I can write out a check and pay for a credit card purchase. But paying for my sins with death is quite a different proposition. While we can compare the debt of sin to the debts on a monthly credit card statement, please, don't let the comparison lead you to trivialize the enormity of your sins against God. There's nothing trivial about paying for sin. Your sin demands death. Ezekiel says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And that means an eternal death. Now, earlier I suggested getting a statement from God that listed your debts, the debts of sin. The fact is, you have gotten such a statement. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is God's statement about sin, but best of all, the Bible is God's statement that your debt of sin has been paid. You haven't paid it. You never could, not even if you suffered forever in hell, which is an eternal debtor's prison. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to pay your debt of sin. God made His perfect and innocent Son to be sin for us. That's what this Christmas season is about. The birth of the Son of God at Bethlehem, the worship of shepherds and wise men, the presentation in the temple, it's all about Him whom God sent to forgive your debt of sin. The whole story of Christ throughout the year is about God forgiving your debt of sin because of Jesus Christ. Christ's baptism in the Jordan, His temptation by the devil, His ministry of preaching and healing, His undeserved crucifixion where He suffered for your sins, His resurrection and the restoration of life for us all, His ascension and enthronement at the right hand of God, all of the stories about Christ that we follow throughout the year, they're all God's loving answer to the sinner's prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." The Bible says that all that Christ has done is credited to you by faith. Christ has paid your bill, as it were. Faith says, I believe that. I believe that Jesus was born for me. He died for me. He rose for me. I believe that. I trust in Christ. That's faith, and it is the means by which God credits the merits of Christ to your account. In the letter he wrote to the Galatians, St. Paul used the Old Testament patriarch Abraham as an example of how God credits Christ's merits to us through faith. Paul told the Galatians, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see then that those who believe are Abraham's real descendants. Since the Scripture foresaw that God would justify the nations by faith, He announced the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Through you all nations will be blessed. So those who believe are blessed together with Abraham, a man of faith. There is a curse on all who depend on doing what the law says, because it's written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Christ paid the price to free us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now, that's the most wonderful credit history you'll ever hear. You know about credit histories. Your financial credit history may or may not be good. But what a great credit statement the Bible tells you about your sins. They are forgiven because of Christ. And through faith, all the blessings of Christ are credited to you. I hope that helps you understand why the Apostle Paul said, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another." Every single one of us is a great debtor. Since the divine love has forgiven us, our greatest obligation, our overriding duty as forgiven debtors, is to love one another. Love one another. How are you going to satisfy that obligation this week? How is this going to influence your shopping? Now, since you and I have had forgiveness credited to our account, that should affect the way we go about our Christmas shopping, shouldn't it? Of course it should. Such a great thing as the forgiveness of God should influence everything you do. Every purchase, every word, every deed, every thought. There are probably few times where that guiding influence of heavenly love is needed as much as in these days before Christmas. So, how can we fulfill the Apostle Paul's words, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another"? Well, let's ask Paul how to do it. Let's apply the old saying, "Practice what you preach," and ask Paul to demonstrate the debt of love from his own life. Paul does that very nicely, I think, in the little book of Philemon. Philemon is a little book toward the end of the New Testament. It's such a little book that it has no chapters, just one little chapter. Philemon was the name of a Christian man. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. The slave Onesimus had run away from Philemon and somehow ended up with Paul. Paul taught Onesimus the gospel. He taught him about God's forgiveness through Jesus for all of our sins. And then Paul sent Onesimus back to his owner Philemon. With him, Paul also sent this little letter that we now have in our New Testament. It's a letter that talks about credit. And I think a letter that can give us some guidance for Christmas gift giving. Paul's first suggestion has nothing to do with cash registers and credit cards, but it's an impressive gift that you can give. The gift is to tell someone that you pray for them. Paul wrote Philemon and said, "I am always thanking my God when I mention you in my prayers." It's a very touching thing for a person to be told that they are prayed for. I remember the first congregation I served. After a meeting, one of the Sunday school teachers told me that she prayed for me every night. Oh, that made a lasting impression upon me. This teacher had me and my work in her mind and heart. In her prayers, her intimate time with her God, she remembered me. It's a touching thing to be told that you are being prayed for. Paul told Philemon that he was praying for him. And you can fulfill the debt of love this Christmas by telling someone that you pray for them. Put their name on a list of people and things you pray for. Jot a note on their Christmas card, "I'm praying for you." Or tell someone, "You're in my prayers. I'm not just saying this, you really are in my prayers." There are wonderful gifts of love that you can give. Gifts that don't show up on a credit card bill. Paul's little letter to Philemon suggests something else about gift giving. And this, too, has nothing directly to do with cash registers and credit cards. Hang on now, hang on. We'll get to that. But there's so much that you can give that doesn't involve dollars and cents. Our materialistic society has forgotten that. Paul told Philemon, "I am sending Onesimus back to you, and my heart goes with him." There are few gifts as dear as people being together. Bringing people together is a gift you can give. And maybe there's an elderly person down the street who would love a visit from you. Or how about the new couple that just moved onto your block? You always drive by these people on your way home. Why not stop the car, get out, and visit? Maybe there's a little quarrel going on in your family. Wouldn't it be great to end the quarrel and get these people together again? Fathers, wouldn't it be a great Christmas gift from you to tell your family you'll spend more time with them in the new year? And mothers, wouldn't it be a great gift to do something with your family just for the fun of it? Paul sent Onesimus to Philemon. It's a great gift to get people together throughout the year, and not just in the busy Christmas season. Again, that's a wonderful gift of love that doesn't show up on January's credit card bill. All right, but what about the shopping and the cash registers and the credit cards? Getting people together and praying for one another is fine, and we should be doing that. But at this time of year, there are gifts to be purchased. Some of us act like Ebenezer Scrooge and become so unloving that we hate to part with one red cent. Others of us are ready to charge ourselves into the poorhouse. How do you strike a balance in Christmas shopping? A financial balance that is truly in harmony with our debt of Christian love? Well, Paul wrote this when he sent Onesimus back to Philemon. Welcome him as you would welcome me. If he wronged you or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. With those words, Paul incurred a credit debt. Paul used his credit to help someone he loved. Personal credit is also in the parable of the Good Samaritan. This story of Jesus is found in Luke chapter 10. Someone asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." But who is my neighbor? Jesus was asked. So Jesus answered with the parable of the Good Samaritan. I think you recall the story. A man was attacked by robbers and left for dead. A priest and then a Levite came down the road, saw the victim, and kept on going. Then a Samaritan came and helped the victim. He dressed his wounds, took him to an inn, and the Bible tells us he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he said, and anything else you spend on him, I will pay back to you when I return. Jesus' parable is another example of credit. Credit used to help someone who needs love. Whether you pay cash or charge, Christmas gifts should be an expression of Christian love. Remember, God loved you and gave Christ. That same love should inspire your gift giving. You give, and perhaps charge, gifts for people who are lovable. Family members, friends, these are usually lovable people. Christian gifts should be more than simply giving to people whom we like. Anyone can do that. As with the Good Samaritan, our debt of love can show itself by giving gifts to those who need help. Helping the underprivileged, the helpless, the ungrateful throughout the year is just as important as giving to friends and family members. Dr. Martin Luther wrote, "What sort of a good deed is it if we are kind only towards our friends? Does not even a wicked man so behave toward his friend? Even dumb beasts are good and gentle towards their kind. Therefore, a Christian must seek for something higher and serve with meekness even undeserving and ungrateful people and wicked men and enemies. So our Heavenly Father makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the ungrateful as on the grateful. Yet here we shall find how hard it is to do good works according to the will of God, how our nature writhes and winces at it, although we are quite ready and willing to do the good works of our own choice. So turn to your enemies, to the ungrateful, and do them good." God's love in Christ should be the motivation for all your gift giving. Gifts should not be given simply because of obligation. Not because you have to. Not because you're worried about your reputation if you don't give a gift. All your gift giving should be motivated by God's great love in Christ for you. That simple truth can help you in many of your shopping decisions. Now, finally, you yourself will have to decide what to purchase and who does not receive a Christmas gift. You'll have to decide how much you'll pay for with cash, and how much you'll charge. Just remember, there's no limit on the love that God has shown you, and there's no limit to the love you can share. The statements that come from credit card companies have credit limits, but it's not that way with God. The Bible tells you there's no limit of His love in Jesus Christ for us debtors. God's grace that enables Christian living means that there's no limit to the love you can share. I don't mean that you can give everybody a gift, even if you charge it. You'll have to decide that some will get gifts and some will not. You're not God. You can't give everything to everyone. That's a decision for you to make, not me. But that doesn't mean you should limit your expressions of love. Remember, expressions of love are not confined to credit card purchases, despite what merchandisers are suggesting. There are more ways to express Christian love than simply with materialistic gifts. There's prayer. At Christmas and throughout the year. You can bring people together at Christmas and after the holidays are over. You can visit people throughout the year. You can give yourself. The love that God's Holy Spirit has poured into your heart will find new and creative ways for you to show love. God in Christ has credited your account with forgiveness. The debt we owe one another is the debt of love. Keep that in mind in these last shopping days before Christmas, and you will be blessed. Amen.